March 25, 2025, 6 p.m. I call the Wrangell Assembly to order. Tonight, the Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Assemblymember Robbins.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Assemblymembers Robbins?
Here.
Mock?
Here.
Otteson? Dalrymple?
Here.
Howe?
Here.
DeBoer?
Here.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Here. Item two, ceremonial matters. We have no action tonight on that. Item three, persons to be heard. We do have an emailed correspondence from Carol Rushmore.
That was from the last
meeting. Right, from the last meeting.
I don't have it.
All right. Anyone like to speak under persons to be heard? All right, thank you. Item four, amendments to the agenda.
Madam Mayor, I would like to propose an amendment to scrap item 15A for the night.
All right. Any objection? And that's the executive session.
Madam Mayor, can we just take a quick pause? Assemblymember Austin wants to call in. He just needs me to send him the information.
All right, thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item five, conflict of interest. Does any assembly member have a conflict? Okay, hearing none. Item six, consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Okay, motion by Robbins, second by Powell. Any discussion, comment? All right, poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Mock?
Yes.
Otteson? I don't think he's on yet. Dalrymple?
Here.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes, and Otteson responded.
Oh, he's there. Oh,
yes.
It didn't.
It was a double yes.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
All right. On to item seven, borough manager's report.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. All the director reports in the packet tonight are there for your review, and happy to ask me questions if you would like. I'll go through this pretty quickly. We have some important upcoming events. Tomorrow, Patty and I are going to be traveling down to the SEPA board meeting for the first quarter meeting. Big, thick packet to review, and so we'll have a good discussion and report back in the April 22nd meeting. On April 1st, the EDB will address Aldertop financing as an option. That's something that Kate and I are working as an option for folks to be able to address construction costs as opposed to the upfront cost of a cash land sale. So Aldertop financing, they'll be talking about the chamber going over to the Nola Center, and they'll be addressing the Tonsgaard Mill proposal. And then on April 7th, I'll be traveling down to the Sea Trade Conference to network and work on cruise ship scheduling for 2027. As you guys all know, we lost seven ships last year to Quahog, and we want to get those seven ships back and more as we continue to build our cruise tourism industry. April 8th, we have our meeting canceled, just a reminder, and I'm sure Kim is going to remind you the same thing. And then on April 10th, Planning and Zoning will meet to talk about Aldertop land covenants and the Tonsgaard Mill property proposal for sale as well. And then on April 22nd's assembly meeting, we plan to discuss a timber appraisal agreement with Austin O'Brien. Had a good meeting with him today on what that will all entail and set ourselves up for some of the borough-initiated timber sales that we'll be pursuing. We'll adopt our fee and rate schedule and have a work session earlier that night on all our enterprise fund fees and rates. I'll be proposing per the work session last night a CIP fund policy that will be jointly adopted by this body as well as the school board. Hopefully that's the intention based off of what I heard last night. And then we have WCA land sale resolution for conveyance. So those are some of the upcoming items we have. And then once we get to May, we're sailing on a lot of things, and mainly the main focus is going to be the budget. So lots happening. I think the most exciting news of the week is the water going through your faucets right now is our new water treatment plant water. That was formally full on commissioned last night. So pretty exciting. Props to Tom Weider, our Public Works Director, Andrew Scambler, Wade Jack, and Jeffrey Davidson for making it happen. There's been a lot of wrinkles in commissioning, just a lot of different moving pieces and components to the new plan and trying to sync everything up for success in the long term. So I know that they're welcoming the SCADA guy. I don't know what the SCADA guy's name is, but he'll be coming into town tomorrow. And Stefan.
For the public, tell them what the SCADA is.
It's basically the software that syncs everything up in the water treatment plant, how they can tell what the flows are, and it triggers certain alarms to trigger staff to come up if there's something that's insufficient or the dosing's wrong or something of that nature. So it's about 450 different alarms on the new SCADA system. Mm-hmm. So a lot of different opportunities for call out. And then Stefan from Dow, our lead engineer up there, will be working through some additional kinks as we go through commissioning. And then in April, we'll release a video from the borough so people can see the new water treatment plant. And then May, I think, would be appropriate to plan a ribbon cutting and have some community event up there to show folks the project, just because it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. So, mm-hmm. But we will have the cleanest drinking water in Southeast Alaska and three times the production capacity, which has been, 14 years in the making, something like that. So a big night for the borough, I think. Another positive note is Carly Allen and I have been meeting in community leadership meetings monthly. We've been discussing with the group a lot about housing and child care. And so Search is pursuing their first pilot project in Wrangell for housing. And so they're planning on using the property in the Torgerson-Glasner subdivision that they own. It's actually next to Assemblymember Mock's property and Don Glasner's property, to do 8 to 16 units, and they want to pursue a planned unit subdivision, which is something that we don't have in our code currently, but it'll prompt us to put it in our code. I think it's a really good thing that's been discussed in the past. Lots of good models for Kate to consider as she brings that new code online, but a really positive thing is we get to, we have a huge housing shortage issue here. More often than not, we have employers looking for people, and then we get them here and they don't know where to stay. So this will be really, really good. That on the back of some other additional hospital inquiries we've been fielding. There is a prospective developer looking at potentially 40 units at the hospital site after demo.
At our old hospital?
Yep, at the old hospital site. So some really good housing things coming online, and I think it's really cool that Search has decided to make Wrangell number one in this new pilot program. So they're looking at it more like a park concept for like a more communal type planned unit development, and I know that'll be good for their employees. So. On the matter of the sewer outfall, that is repaired and complete and within our budget. So it was $37,000 in that neighborhood. And so we got her done and appreciate all the hard work of the Public Works staff for getting that timely repair done. And we're no longer dumping treated wastewater on the beach. It's out in the outfall. We had a good school work session last night. Both entities discussed their budget. They have an opportunity to discuss potential revenue growth options that we'll be pursuing in the budget cycle. Discussed a lot of different cuts to operational expenses and heard from an abundance of people. I just think there's 45 people in the audience, so just appreciate all those people coming out. We definitely don't have 45 people tonight, so must not be as interesting, but I think it is. And assessments went out, so there'll be an opportunity. We'll kind of post the calendar for appeals and when folks have to get that into the finance department and the assessor. We have assessor contact information on the front desk, so if you do have questions. We're also working to get everybody's property card information on the website so people can see what previous year's assessments were with ease and without staff having to tackle it. And we'll come out with our Board of Appeals, Board of Equalization schedule as well once that time comes along. There is an increase in assessments overall, 7% to 14%. On average, again, that's not a borough decision. That's a third-party assessor decision. We'll talk about the mill rate, I believe, on the May 14th meeting. If it's not May 14th, it's May 28th. So we'll be discussing that, and that will set the overall property tax burden for the year. So a little bit of update on assessments, and then a really productive Juneau lobbying trip last week. It was a whirlwind as soon as I got up there. I got off the jet and got promptly pulled over. Because the rental car company had expired tabs, and it was like, I'm late for my meeting with Bert Stedman, so do whatever you need to do here. And so I went to see Uncle Bert for a while, and we talked about what we can really achieve realistically with this year's state budget. I'll get to kind of the state of the state right now, but There's no capital budget as of now, and there probably won't be, and that's a bit of a disappointment when we have a lot of capital needs, but we're not alone. A lot of municipalities have millions and millions of dollars of backlog deferred maintenance and capital projects, so we're among the rest of them at this point, but things that we could accomplish and focus on was we're going to push to get the Ketchikan assistant DA assigned to Wrangell instead of the Sitka DA. Again, Gene, Chief Meek cited the statistics that we have, 260-ish arrests for four trials over last 5 years or 6 year period, which is ridiculous. So we think a lot of that's just the lack of attention from the DA's office here in Wrangell, and we like to have a less of a geographical burden. Sick is a little bit harder to get to than Ketchikan. Theoretically, the assistant DA could hop up in the morning and go in the afternoon. So I think it's a better means of getting some more attention from the DA's office. And then we talked about the Department of Education reform as it relates to the DCIP major maintenance grant. There's some certain provisions in that grant that make it really, it's not very flexible. And, you know, a lot of times what happens is they say you got 9 years to spend the money, but you have to spend it on exactly what you said it was going to be for, and it can't sway in scope in any way. And they like to bid the whole project out at once. Well, that really hamstrings communities that are trying to get those projects done. And, you know, the way they reimburse you, it's very segmented. It's not based on the transactional level. It's actually done like 10% once you sign your grant agreement, 25% when you get to a certain percentage of design, 50% when you, you know, issue your bids to your contractor. It's really wonky the way it's set up, and it's really hard to plan. And there's other considerations involved too. So Senator Stebbins and us talked about that as well. We went through all of our projects just in case there is an inkling of CAPSIS money or state capital improvement money in the budget. And then we talked about the property tax exemption for seniors and the implications that's having on our ability to meet local needs. So he's aware of that, but obviously, as you can imagine, for somebody that's trying to get elected, and it's not a popular issue to take on, so I understand, but at the same time, just kind of bringing awareness to the fact that the state's broke and hamstring our ability to raise tax revenues locally, it's tough to meet our obligations. So talked about the same things with Bynum, went through all the projects, very prepared. Went to go meet with the Department of Transportation, talked about Bradfield. They knew a lot about Bradfield, so we discussed and compared notes. All the while, though, they are getting some engagement out of Hyder as an option for the ferries. You guys may have seen some stuff in the news on that. So if that comes alive, it kind of begs the question, how willing would the state and the feds be willing to fund the Bradfield project? So, and now that Hyder's come back online as an option, Prince Rupert's speaking back up again, so it's kind of a funny narrative right now. But we did talk a lot about Bradfield. I got some clarity on the direction we might head for first steps. And we also talked about the East Ramp runway extension, which in our community leadership meetings, that's a priority for Gary Allen and I, who's the foreman here at DOT. So that's the extension of the hangar space on the east side of the runway. So we'd be blasting rock and carving out more space for hangars. And as you guys are aware, there's not a lot of opportunity for economic development out there because most of the hangars are occupied and no additional space. So talked about those items with DOT. And then the hallmark piece of the trip was attending the AFA board meeting, the Alaska Forestry Association meeting. I got to meet with all the members of Viking and Alcan that were there and discuss our mill property and what we're trying to do with the Wrangell Timber Initiative. It was really, really great. Side note, really good article and paper forthcoming tomorrow on that initiative, so appreciate Sam. And had an opportunity to meet with Tessa Axelson and talk about some of the advocacy and PR she's working on. She has a proposal to Senator Sullivan for 2 million acres of the Tongass being transferred to the state. I've asked for a request a copy of that bill so we can either support it or offer our comments on it. I think it would be more impactful for the bill to read to the boroughs and transfer that property to the boroughs instead of the state, just given what we've seen and observed with our entitlement lands. Mm-hmm. I think if you gave the state 2 million acres, it'd probably take them 200 years to get it to us, so it might be more powerful for us to be the people that it's getting to get conveyed to. So that was really great, and I really appreciate Tessa for leading the meeting. Matt LeBrentz, who is the trainer for the lumber grading training going on, we had an opportunity to meet with him. I know him and Kate are planning Wrangell dates for either May or June, and up to 25 participants can be involved in that training. We'll do it at our very own Nolan Center, and that has taken advantage of the lumber grading bill that the governor passed this last year. And allows us to adjust our building code and use locally sourced lumber for building, and I think it's a great opportunity to get some workforce development too within a day. He's also committed to meeting with our high school students at the shop class for a couple hours and just talk about some careers that involve the timber industry and wood product development. So I think that's really great, and maybe he can even do a little bit of the training with them. Commissioner Boyle gave us a good shout out in the meeting, had a good opportunity to talk with him. He's our DNR commissioner. Talked with the mental health Crestland folks, all the people that were here in Wrangell were also up there. And so we had a good lunch talking about some of our first targets in a land exchange and some of the subdivision planning we have and long-term timber harvest prospects we have. Earl West will be our first big focus outside of some of the smaller sales that we're planning to get off the street with the help of Mr. Austin O'Brien. And probably most notably out of the group, we got to meet with the regional forester, Chad, and the forest supervisor, Barb. And I got Chad's ear about the mill property being deemed a designated export site, which I know that's been a major hurdle for our Forest Service locally in terms of the appraisal process. Thanks to Bob for queuing me up on that, because I knew nothing about it. And for those that don't know, it's about $140 a thousand board feet to transfer our logs or appraise them out to Klawock for export, when in fact we have deep water right here we can export them out of. And more often than not, that makes these Forest Service projects here in the red, and then they can't put them out to market. So I think it's a great opportunity to get a simple thing done with the regional forester. And Barb is actually going to be coming, our forest supervisor is going to be coming down here to the districts in the next 2 to 3 weeks, it sounds like. So looking forward to engaging with her further, and I'll keep the assembly posted on when she does come, so we can bend Barb's ear on a lot of the discussion we're having around the timber initiative and ways we think we would like the Forest Service to be engaged at the regional level with us here locally. So I'm excited about that, and we'll kind of pivot to just a general legislative update. You know, we're about the halfway point through the legislature right now. The first half of the legislature is focused predominantly on education. Most folks have been familiar with House Bill 69. We talked about that a bit last night. That's a $1,000 BSA increase with some of the governor's proposed amendments to that bill. That's been kicked over to the Senate side now for discussion. With that, it's a $275 million increase to the general purpose funds of the state. That's significant. That's a $1.7 billion deficit for the state of Alaska right now. There's a lot of opportunities to address that deficit, cutting operational expenses, raising oil revenues by reducing the tax credits. For oil companies, a big discussion right now. You can lower the PFD, you can draw from the CBR, the Constitutional Budget Reserve, and I don't know if the Assembly is aware of what the Constitutional Budget Reserve is, just maybe a quick commentary, just so everybody's up to speed. That's a constitutional fund that was set in the last Constitution back in the 90s, I believe, to address budget volatility due to oil prices. And so right now there's just short of $3 billion in the CBR. It takes 3/4 of the legislature vote to draw from that. It's very unpopular. The governor's proposed budget has over half of that CBR being drawn from, which is concerning. It's likely that won't happen, but it's what's proposed at this point. And what I would expect is, based on my conversation with Representative Bynum and Senator Stedman, is at least a 680 BSA increase, similar to what we had last year, but have it perpetually funded to that level. And I would expect a 75-25 permanent fund model instead of a statutory dividend or any other model, or close to a 75-25. So I think that's where we're at in terms of legislature, but happy to field any questions at the end of this that you guys may be curious about. Mayor Gilbert mentioned it last night. We did get a critical step done with the child care initiative. We got our MOU adopted at WCA here at the borough, and Clinton Hyde is signing it right now, just doing one last legal review. So really excited for 36 different spots for between daycare and early Head Start, ages birth through five, the combination birth through three, birth through five. But I know that we've been looking for child care solutions for quite some time, and we have an empty elementary school to some degree, so this will be a good synergetic fit. Our financial statements will be released here. It'll be filed on April 1st or prior to April 1st, so big packet for you guys to review, probably on the April 22nd meeting. We'll have Joy Mariner, our audit partner, deliver the rest. One significant deficiency this year was the journal entry review process. There was a period where we didn't have a finance director, and so they kind of call us out for that, which is warranted in this part of it, but we're on the same level as Petersburg. They had one too, so we're doing pretty good, and credit to the finance department for getting addressing all the auditors' questions, getting these financials issued. Really, really big step for Jackson. as he comes online. And then overall, just wanted to bring attention to the budget I talked about last night. You all were there, except for Mikey and Brittany. You guys were on the line, I believe. Right now we're facing a $640,000 deficit before we get to capital projects and the general fund. That's pretty concerning. You know, we're going to be looking at all options as we come along in this next month before I bring a draft budget. But there will be a lot of conversations around cuts to operational expenses, hopefully not personnel, but it's up for debate as we get along. It's a pretty big number to overcome, and not looking at personnel might not be an option. And then, you know, we'll be looking at the property tax revenue, see what how that funds the general fund this year with the assessment increases. But I think everything's on the table at this point, and we're going to have to be really diligent in how we adjust the general fund. But happy to answer any questions. I think, you know, make a comment on secure rural schools. If we would have got secure rural schools money, we wouldn't be in this issue this year. But we so far haven't got reauthorization for that. We probably won't until September if it does happen. Central Air Services did get reauthorized through Congress, so that's a great step. And our threat to Alaska Airlines flying away isn't a threat for now. So we got it secured for a couple more years and subsidized here at the Wrangell Airport, about $2.7 million for commercial traffic. I can't remember what the freighter number is, but that continued as well. So that's it. I'm going to stop there and let you guys get on with the meeting. But if you guys have any questions, happy to answer. Yeah, Bob.
Just a comment or a question slash comment. Mason, did you have any more direct discussions about secure rural schools? And I guess I'm asking that because to me, it seems like everybody's going, oh, they didn't renew, aw shucks.
Yeah.
Personally, to me, I'd like to see both us and the state and our congressional delegations take another run at that.
Yeah.
This is critical. We can't be the only ones that are just flattened by the lack of this funding now.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. So, to the chair, we did support House Joint Resolution Number 5, which passed the legislature unanimously. To go towards our senators and congressional delegation to address the secure rural schools non-reauthorization. And I think we've passed a local resolution as well for that and support. And so, you know, our voices are being heard. Murkowski staff's in tune, Sullivan staff's in tune, but I don't think it'll get picked back up until they get to the federal fiscal year 26 spending bill, which is unfortunate, but we just passed the May 14th deadline to fund the government. They chose the long-term CR route, and that basically means the president can choose line items with existing levels of spending and how he sees fit, and we'll be in that realm until September the 30th of 25. So,
and we've resubmitted our CDS request from the previous year. You know, the $15.5 million.
Yep.
So we
had our
resubmitted
public safety building, emergency access road, and wastewater treatment plant upgrades, and our garbage truck in there. The garbage truck probably won't get reauthorized, but the three hopefully will be put in the next Senate bill by Senator Murkowski, and we also submitted a few other projects in for consideration.
Right, and SRS does have bipartisan support, and Senator Mike Crapo from Idaho is a big proponent of SRS, so I think we're going to be okay on that. It's just going to be a delay. And maybe a year missed.
Could be a year missed.
Yeah.
They probably won't fund it retroactively also,
no,
although we'll be pushing for that.
And then Senator Stedman, did he have any solutions, any ideas for our public safety building? Is he still working with fire departments?
Thank you for prompting me, Madam Mayor. So that was another big discussion with Senator Stedman. He knows that the public safety buildings are our premier project that we submitted to the state this year. And he's proposing a 50-50 matching program for fire halls, similar to what we've experienced with the State Harbor Matching Program. That'd be really, really impactful. And I know that it'd get a lot of up north support, as a lot of Anchorage fire halls need to be replaced. So that gives us, you know, for example, we issued our $3 million GO bonds. We haven't issued them, but we've got an authorization from the voters for them. We could match that to have a $6 million project. That'd be pretty powerful. And so we may hold off on issuance of those $3 million pending what the state does. If they don't come out with that new program, we might just have to use the $3 million with what we can get done. So,
okay.
Good question.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? All right. And in the report, we also have utilities report. Oh, Nolan and finance, and a good finance report and accounts receivable, which is what we need to see every month. All right. I don't need to tell you that. Okay. Borough clerk's report.
I don't have a whole lot. Just that the appeal deadline for anybody that wants to appeal their assessments is April 18th at 5 p.m. Robbie has that on our website. The BOE meeting hearing is scheduled for May 5th, and I will send out the information to the assembly as it gets a little bit closer, because, of course, as you know, the BOE Board of Equalization is the assembly, so the assembly sets us the BOE. Let's see, also the mill levy and the budget are set tentatively for the adoption to be done on May 27th at that meeting. And also on, in front of you, you will see there is an agenda statement for the finance committee vacancy. It is not on the agenda, however, that vacancy has been advertised since October, so it's appropriate to go ahead and appoint. We received two letters of interest, which is awesome. And so you can do that under item 10. And then also, let's see, the code review committee is going to be meeting tomorrow at 10 o'clock to start reviewing Title 16 for the lease and purchase of property. Also, we are looking at putting the premium on there. We're looking at changing the fee and rate schedule section of it so that it's a higher fee for the application, and it'll be defined as per lot. So if somebody comes and wants to purchase five lots, they're going to have to pay an application fee for each lot, and which is very standard. If you do a subdivision, you have to pay. If you subdivide, you have to pay for each of those lots on a subdivision. So I think that's highly appropriate. And then also, I do want to say Sam Paulsman is leaving tomorrow, right? This is his last meeting with us, and I think it's been an absolute pleasure having him here. We are definitely going to miss him.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, we will. Assemblymember Powell?
And then we're going to retro that fee thingy on the properties, right?
Sure, yeah. Oh, and also that along with the WCA and Mr. Smith land sales, those will be on the April 22nd meeting along with Valerna's land sale. And those are out for, they were published and out for people if they want to protest those sales. They have that right.
And a lot of this code change on land sales has from suggestions from the public.
Oh, yeah.
So we really welcome suggestions from the public.
Right.
You're going to find out how old some of our codes are when we have the Harbor Master up on the agenda.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate ideas from the public.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else? Mm-hmm. And NCSL registration, we encourage community to register for NCSL.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Number 9, Marin Assembly Business. Anyone have anything to report? All right, moving on to item 10, Marin Assembly Appointments. As the borough clerk referenced, we have an opening on the Finance Committee for a community member. And we made another plea last night during a work session, and we had two community members volunteer for this position, Brian Herman and Odile Meister. So if without any disagreement from the assembly, I wish to appoint Brian Herman to the Finance Committee, and he will join Assembly Member Mock, Assembly Member DeBoard, Borough Manager Valerna, and our Finance Director Jackson Poole. And we thank you for volunteering, and thank Odile for putting her name in. All right. We have no public hearing tonight, no unfinished business, so we're moving right on to new business. Item 13A, ordinance number 1075 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending sections of multiple chapters in Title 14, Harbor and Port Facilities, for the purpose of updating Title 14 of the Wrangell Municipal Code.
Move to approve first reading of Ordinance 1075 and move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on April 22nd, 2025.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Robbins, second by Mock. And we have our Harbor Master approaching the podium.
Yep. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Borough Manager, what do you have to report?
Not much. I'm going to turn it over to our Harbor Master to deliver the updates to Title 14. I know that him and the Port Commission worked pretty hard on this for the last couple of years. It's a pretty intense revision of the code, so I appreciate the Port Commission's diligence in making it happen. So I'll turn it over to Steve.
Steve Miller, Port Director for the Ports and Harbors of Wrangell. So when I jumped into this and was looking at this, it was mainly to try to educate my Port Commission on the rules that we have to govern the ports and harbors by. And when we started jumping into this, it became more of a, man, this thing is outdated. We need to do some revisions and get it up to 2025 standards, because there was a lot of stuff in here that really was not up to any of the things that we were trying to monitor or manage. So they jumped right in on it, and it did take us some time. This is about half of the actual document of the mm-hmm. It's actually less than half. So this is all of the changes. So if you're really interested in what Title 14 has, there is more to it, but this is the changes. So if there's any questions, we can go on from there. Yes.
Well, go ahead, Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Question for Steve. Steve, it seemed like most of this was wording and clarifications and stuff. Was there anything significantly different?
The only ones would be like we added float house. That wasn't in there. We have float houses that we now manage. Some of the larger definition ones that you see in here that had changes, it was like Heritage Harbor, it wasn't in the ordinance, so we added that. So mainly, unless it was something major or something that the attorney pulled out that was like needed a really major overhaul to make it better for the city of Wrangell to manage, we tried to leave it as is.
Right, thank you.
And I've talked to the Harbor Master, but I would like to add, under the definitions of our various harbors, Myers Chuck, and you need the physical reference to that. And then I would also like to add 6 Mile Dock, because we know we've got a deep water port area there. And we know there's going to be some structure there. And just call it 6 Mile Dock for now, or I don't care what you call it. But I'd like to have that embedded in here while we are amending this code. Is that all right, Assembly? Okay. Then I got my other question answered on the definitions. I sort of objected to the term, I had trouble with the term harbor master embedded in the code, but then our harbor master's job description refers to him as director of ports and harbor. But I'm no longer bothered by that, so I don't need to have that changed.
More sophisticated title.
Well, I really like Harbor Master, but anyway, it's good that you added float houses. And then I was wondering on page 106 for the Assembly, section 14.11.010 on delinquent 30-plus days that goes into collection action. I was wondering if that could be beefed up, or if we have a city-wide policy on collections. It seems that, especially with the harbor, that people fail to pay their bill, and 120 days plus is very normal. In fact, on our accounts receivable tonight, we've got 69,549 dollars of 60 days past due plus. So I don't know, do we have a, we have the same problem with utilities and?
I think there's an opportunity in the code to be a little bit more specific in our procedures.
Okay.
It does give us the authority in code.
Yeah.
But it could be a little bit more prescribed if that's something the assembly would want to pursue through the code committee or through the finance committee.
Right. And it's probably not the duty of the port commission to do that. We mm-hmm. might want to think about that.
Yeah. I'll come up with a solution on the next meeting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's okay.
Good.
Done.
Let's do that. All right. I'm very pleased. It represents a tremendous amount of work. Anything else? Assembly? Okay. Odison, anything from you? Okay. Poll vote. Thank you. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members, Odison? Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Moff?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item B, this is on page 111, Assembly. Resolution number 03-25-1927, a resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending fiscal year 2025 budget by transferring $25,000 from the General Fund Reserve to the Finance Department budget for costs related to the implementation of cloud-based servers.
Move to approve resolution number 03-25-1927.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. This has been a long time coming.
Long time coming. Yeah. So I'll pass it over to our finance director who's on the line, I think. Jackson, are you on?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
You're great.
Awesome. Yeah, as Mayor Gilbert said, it's a long time coming for this, so I'm glad that we're finally in the first stages. This will kind of be a phased approach. We're going to knock out the City Hall-based servers first, which function for our shared drives, and most of our data is stored in there. This project is essential not only to modernize, but it enhances our cybersecurity and also will be cost-saving in the long run. Our current hosted servers, if those break down, we're paying exuberant amounts of money for Blackpoint IT to come and fix issues, and you're talking $10,000 and up. So, yeah, long time coming. So I'm glad that we're finally doing it. If you have any questions, feel free to ask now or email me at a future time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jackson. It's also very timely. We just switched to our accounting ERP going to cloud-based, so that's really nice. You can access it anywhere now. And previously, directors would have to remote into a server, and
yeah,
that's another upgrade out of what we've been doing. So a lot more accessible, a lot easier to get information, and a lot more secure.
Right. I like the cybersecurity impact. Any questions? Oh, Assembly Member Mock?
Yeah, thank you. So now that we are going to move to more cloud-based, mm-hmm. I'm guessing City Hall has one provider for internet. I don't know what it is, but most likely GCI. There's now another provider in town. I've seen this in other entities that now that being more cloud-based, for example, Sitka,
mm-hmm.
fiber gets cut, we're dead in the water. Have we considered having the need to have a secondary provider as a backup, not necessarily paying the full bill, but having them hooked up, ready to go if time arises?
Great question, Assemblymember Mock. So we actually have a combination of both providers throughout the borough. We do have AP&T and GCI. We do have some Starlinks too for emergency purposes up at our volunteer fire department. So we got some redundancy, but we are looking in this budget process on combining internet across the board. There are some favorable providers, just given some of the storage tiers that they have, and we use a lot of storage capacity, And if it's not a unlimited plan, then it can affect us pretty drastically, as Harbor Master Miller, Port Director Miller, has experience with the port and harbor cameras that we install. All that information being stored on the servers is extremely expensive, or in the cloud is extremely expensive. So we ran into some problems in higher internet bills for the preceding couple months. So I think there'll be a plan rolled out in the budget to make sure we've consolidated to take care of some cost efficiencies, but we'll also have some redundancy. And I think that's probably going to be in the form of Starlink redundancy. We'll probably have a few more Starlinks around town just so we can access critical information when internet on fiber goes out.
Thank you.
Yeah,
good question. Any other comment? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assembly members, Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yeah.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Hill?
Yes. Item C, page 113, resolution number 03-25-1928 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, strongly supporting the efforts of the Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission to protect transboundary waters, specifically the Stikeen River, and the ecosystem, indigenous peoples, communities, residents, and economies that depend on its protection.
Move to approve resolution number 03-25-1928.
Second.
Okay, motion by Robbins, second by Dalrymple.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'm actually going to turn this one over to you. This has been your bailiwick, and I appreciate your advocacy on all that they're doing.
Yeah, and Assembly Member Dalrymple helped me quite a bit with forming the resolution. I just feel strongly that Wrangell should go on record as doing everything that we can, or supporting any effort that we can to protect the Stikeen. And Assembly Member Dalrymple has mentioned this once before and mentioned it to me again. We should try to investigate in some mechanism to monitor and get a base level of the water quality in the Stikeen. And Canada, bless their little hearts, are going gung-ho on mining and resource extraction. You know, good for them. But we want to constantly remind them that we have shared boundaries, shared rivers, shared resources, and this particular resolution sort of approaches the topic with kind of a First Peoples approach, and to remind Canada that boundary is truly man-made, and we both have interest in maintaining the pristine nature of the Stikeen. Any questions, comments, anything from you, Assembly Member Dalrymple?
No. Well said.
All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly Members Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yeah.
And Mayor Hill?
Yes. Page 119, Item D, resolution number 03-25-1929 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the fiscal year 2025 Sanitation Fund CIP budget by authorizing $15,000 in expenditures for permitting and design of a new monofill site.
Move to approve resolution number 03-25-1929.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. This is also something we need to get on.
Absolutely. So thank you, Madam Mayor. We've been working on the monofill project, or the new monofill, and we've been working on it for quite some time. This is actually more of a housekeeping item, but I'll kind of turn it into something a little bit more. We've been charging the expenses to the general fund because we've had some additional room in the public works budget for professional services, but it'd be most appropriate to put it under the sanitation fund, as the monofill is under the Sanitation Enterprise Fund umbrella. So this is just $15,000 being authorized for permitting and design for the new monofill site. So at this point, we've got the core permit for the site, and if you're going out towards the shooting range and you're going up the shooting range hill, or the old monofill site is on the left, which is reach capacity, and the new monofill site will be on the right side of the shooting range road. and we'll be clearing that and making that our new monofill site. So we've got our 401 water quality certificate filed with DEC, and we're continuing to move forward. Tidehack Creek Environmental, Tyler Ribeiro, who's a local here in town, has kind of been helping us facilitate that and pushing this forward. So,
and we'll alert the public to when that can be used.
That's correct. It'll be a little bit, but yeah, we're moving towards it, so that's great.
Okay. Any, yes, Assemblymember Dalrymple?
I just want to be assured that this is not for hazardous waste.
This is not for hazardous waste. We couldn't put creosote pilings, for example, in this landfill. It's just all construction and earthen material. So.
And for the public, biomass, tree limbs, grass clippings, where would be a proper place to dispose of those?
Well, for the most part, anything you can burn, take it out to the transfer station. We'd like to prefer that rather than filling up our monofill with it. But, you know, for yard waste and those types of things, it's appropriate to go out to the monofill site.
Okay. All right.
And we don't recycle here in Wrangell, so just throw it away.
I know, but there is a movement to try to do recycling with glass. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
WCA with glass and aluminum cans.
Yes,
a WCA. Better recycling.
WCA is doing a great job of picking up for our inability to recycle just due to the economic situation that we find ourselves in. I know that they're creating a glass recycler that basically reduces it to a sand type material that seniors can go ahead and spread out on icy roads and their stairways and stuff, which is kind of a creative solution. And collecting a lot of aluminum. They just did the e-waste event, and so that's been good as well. But those are all funded projects through grants. So unless we find a good perpetual grant source for recycling, I think we're stuck in their predicament.
But we'll work on that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item E, resolution number 03-25-1930 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for the creation of a dispatch/corrections temporary position and amending the non-union wage and grade table.
Move to approve resolution number 03-25-1930.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Robbins, second by Powell.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is kind of an unusual one, I would think, from an Assembly's lens. We have had some disruptions in service for our dispatching corrections personnel. Oftentimes, we run a really lean staff anyway. So if somebody has a medical event and somebody had a pre-planned vacation, for example, we don't have any additional coverage. And so this isn't intended to be a position that's filled for months and months and months. This is like a week by week kind of thing. We do have several retired personnel that were dispatching corrections officers here in the borough, and they have graciously desired to fill in for people, but we don't have the insurance coverage if we hire them in a different capacity as a contracted employee, for example. So a temporary employee solution was the best. And again, this is like a week by week type thing. In the event that we need coverage, almost a resilience and redundancy thing for staffing. And you might ask, I'm going to beat Assemblymember Dalrymple to the question, $30 might seem a little steep when you compare it to the rest of the wage and grade table. For a temporary worker to be incentivized to go to work, or if you really calculate the fully loaded wage for the existing dispatch and corrections, it's well above that when you include all the benefits involved. So I think $30 an hour was what we landed at. We did have discussions with some of the local folks that would be providing this temporary service, and I think that's what it would take them to get them out of retirement in a temporary position too. So I think we're just trying to figure out what's realistic. So that's a bit about that, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Mason, thanks for the explanation. So the $30 does not, or that position doesn't come with all the retirement and all that. So it's
correct.
Just because that is a significant bump up on mm-hmm. the scale. And then how temporary is temporary? Would this be on the books as needed?
As needed. You know, you might see a line item in this next budget cycle for maybe like $2,500 or $5,000 at the very most. This would also be covered by our jail contract regardless. So it would kind of be a net zero effect, but just another tool for us to draw from the resources we have in town. We're lucky enough to have retired people that do have their, I can't remember the name of the licensure because I'm not as familiar with the police credentials, but the Association of Public Safety Communications Officials International designation, that's something that any current or former corrections and dispatch officer has to possess as a licensure. So we're lucky enough to have folks in town for that.
And it'll be to the city's favor in terms of being awash between this expenditure and the overtime.
That's correct.
That we might have.
Yeah,
so,
more, you'd be paying more in overtime.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So it's kind of a good budget decision for the city.
I do think, you know, it's appropriate to comment. Down the road, there is going to be a movement towards consolidation of dispatch centers and corrections officers. So that'll be something for consideration for the assembly. And I just encourage you guys to keep eyes wide open as we get into that debate, because I think we have a lot of community jails in southeastern Alaska in general, and we have all our siloed dispatch officers. When, you know, we get sick as air traffic control over here in Wrangell, it's kind of the same concept, and everybody's spending a lot of money on it, and it's not probably the most efficient. So I think that'll be a conversation as time goes on. Of course, we're going to want the jobs here in Wrangell, but
right.
It might be an opportunity for us.
Hold vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members, the board?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item F, approval of the consent and assignment of leased tidelands from Lynn Campbell to Kevin and Elizabeth O'Keefe, doing business as Maximo Rentals Limited Liability Corporation. Assembly, this on page 127.
Move to approve the consent and assignment of leased tidelands from Lynn Campbell to Kevin and Elizabeth O'Keefe, DBA Maximo Rentals LLC, for lot 7, block 83-A, Tidelands Edition.
Second.
Okay, motion by Mock, second by Robbins.
Pretty standard, yep. Madam Mayor, just a lease reassignment from a mother to a daughter.
Any questions, comments?
I appreciate the map.
Yeah, yes. It's helpful. Good.
Yes.
That's all Borough Clerk Lane, so thank you to Kim.
Where'd you die?
Yeah, where'd you die? Special.
You have to ask. All right, poll vote, please.
I knew exactly where it was at, though. It's in Erin
yes.
Harbor.
Assembly members Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yeah.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item G, approval of change order number 9 to McGee Constructors Incorporated in the amount of $131,186.49 for the water treatment plant improvements project.
Move to approve change order number 9 to McGee Constructors Incorporated in the amount of $131,186.49 for the water treatment plant improvements projects.
Second.
Okay, motion by Robbins, second by Powell.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this is pretty routine. We do have some additional change order items, including filter backwash piping, the control valve, and then on top of that, we got some site grading that's going to be taking place. We feel really good about where the water treatment plant's at. The figure in the cost spreadsheet that we have for the total construction funding available at the start of the project, you can actually tack on $2.5 million more to that. We have an EPA grant that we have not used yet. So we are well funded going into completion of this project. So I'm not worried at all about the change order. This is pretty normal.
Don't jinx it.
Yeah. We won't jinx it. Knock on wood. We feel pretty good. So I'm happy to answer what I can. They're pretty specific items, but things are good.
Assembly member Dalrymple.
He might be able to help that. When we went on the field trip a while back with Tom, as we went up there, he showed us a black pipe that was going to go down the hill.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly what that pipe was for.
Sure.
But he talked about they were going to put a pipe inside the pipe that was there.
Yep.
And it was... By far, they thought that the only real solution that wasn't going to be super expensive. Does this do that?
That's actually, you're catching right on, Assemblymember Dalrymple. So that's the backwash piping.
And so basically all the gunk that gets backwashed out of the plant goes right down to our wastewater treatment facility through that line. Yeah. That line's currently ductail iron, and so there's snake and HDPE through there. There are some elbows in there that we'll have to cut through. I think they've already done that work, so I'd have to confirm, but that'll take all the backwash to the wastewater treatment plant.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All tied in.
And it was a really cheap alternative compared to actually putting a brand new HDPE line and digging a ditch all the way down to the wastewater treatment plant, so cost-effective alternative.
All right. Any questions? Poll vote, please.
Assemblymember Small?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Ford?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Giller?
Yes. Item H, approval of amendment number 2 to the professional services agreement with Electric Power Systems for the power plant upgrades project in the amount of $146,622.
Move to approve amendment 2 to the professional service agreement with Electrical Power Systems for the power plant upgrade project in the amount of $146,622.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think the Assembly will be excited about this. This is also a cost-effective alternative. Mm-hmm. So we did procure additional transformers for the initial plan for the project. However, a cheaper way of doing this project was explored with Dwight Yancey and crew at the power plant. And I had the opportunity to go walk through the project with them. Originally, the plan was to go underneath the generators where the 350 MCM wire would go over to the control room and back to the switchyard. And so the additional unit that isn't connected to the switchyard essentially would have to have a new wire strung underneath the generation building, 500 MCM. And to do that, it was about $400,000 for the wire plus all the labor to get it installed. It's really, really expensive and really heavy stuff. It's not something that we could do internally.
Okay.
So that alternative for the project would be about $450,000-$500,000. This is a much cheaper alternative. So we can get about, it was $146,000 to completion to this project. And the way we're going to do that is you look at unit number 1. Which is the first unit when you walk through the generation plant door, and have the wire strung to one of the transformers that we procured with a control switch, and then into the yard. And so you kind of essentially bypass the existing transformer setup that we have right now, and you'll have your additional 2 megawatts there. So I think in the past it's been incorrectly stated from the 9 megawatt. Transformer to the 12 megawatt. We will be able to go up to 12 megawatts, but it's not something that you want to sustain for very long. But it will be able to give us a sustainable 11 megawatts. And if you can't tell, I'm not exactly a power guy, but I'm trying to understand it each time better and better. So this is, EPS seems to have a good faith in what we're doing, and we should be able to get this done internally and with EPS. So.
Right, and they're very familiar with our generators. And do we have the 15 kilovolt cable in stock?
We do.
Okay.
We do, and we should be good to go. And so I think this is something we can get done in the next couple months and proceed.
Yeah, this is you just saved us $300,000 plus.
Yeah,
and doing it this way.
We did, and probably. A bit of a headache too. That I don't see how they would have strung that heavy a wire into the generation room. It's pretty tight quarters, and it's really, really heavy stuff. And so,
do you remember what that headroom is underneath those generators? Is it about 5 feet, maybe, or?
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't exactly stand straight up tall.
Right.
It's kind of got to duck down in there, but it's wedged in, below the generators, and then you have to push. It goes up into the generation control room and then back around, and then you got to tap it through the foundation and then out towards the transformers into the switchyard. And so it's a lot of extra work, and I don't even know that it would work out that well, to be honest. Just haven't seen it myself. So this is essentially just having one generator being deviated into the distribution system.
Okay. Right. Any questions, Assemblymember DeBoard?
So one question real quick.
Sure.
So it said we previously purchased 4 transformers for this, but the plan says we're only using 2.
That's correct.
So what are we doing with the other 2?
So we have a need for those in terms of redundancy for the system. So it's good to have them in inventory. Plus the lead times for these things are, in some cases, 18 months. So now that we got them, I think we feel pretty good about it, and certainly Land Power is not strapped for cash, so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good thing. All right, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Audison?
Yes.
Davenport?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Ma?
Yes.
Yes. Attorney's file available in Borough Clerk's office, and no executive session. We will adjourn at 7 p.m. sharp.